Hello, and welcome to the Haitian Immigration Podcast. Today, we are going to discuss personal stories, influential people, and the history of Haiti. As you most likely know, in 2010, there was a major earthquake of the magnitude 7 on the Richter scale. A poor country such as Haiti could not withstand it with its poor infrastructure, forcing many to immigrate to other countries. Beatrice is but one of many people who had their homes destroyed and were forced to immigrate. At the time, Beatrice was 4 months pregnant and had to take care of her 2-year-old child. Before she moved over to the U.S., she made a comfortable $1,600 a month as a nurse. Earthquake changed all of that. She says, "The house twisted like a circle, and then I fell on the floor, and then pop, 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 pop." That was when Beatrice knew she had to go, and about a month later, she was able to scrounge up enough money to move to her parents in the U.S. Although $1,600 a month would get her a year in Haiti, it barely paid rent in the U.S. Beatrice, like many others, qualified for something called temporary protected status. This allowed her and other Haitians to look for jobs without fear of deportation. This ends in the summer of 2019 under President Trump's term. Around 50,000 people have immigrated under temporary protected status, and many of them consider themselves Americans rather than Haitians, some even spending the majority of their lives here rather than their home country, though others, such as Beatrice, long to return to Haiti. She says, "We have a lot of problems, but I still have some emptiness inside of me. I need something different. I need to go home." Others, such as Joanna Desir, have made a nice living in the U.S. and sends money back to help their families who are still in need of recovering. We have that connection in Haitian families. Since you succeed, you have to help others. It is a must. When President Trump declared that we would no longer extend the temporary visas, Desir, like many others, were devastated. After all, their families depended on them for financial support. Desir has 16 relatives still living in Haiti. She takes care of all of them and pays their rent using her job, as a home health care provider. Without her, they wouldn't know what to do. Now, Beatrice has found a job in the U.S. and can support her family with help from her parents, though she still longs to return to Haiti from before the quake, much like how Celia and Raphael from the Book of Unknown Americans long to return to Panama, while others, such as Desir, who helped her community and perhaps even saved lives, are reluctant to leave, not to mention those who were born here and or have spent all or most of their lives here. Though some have decided to live in the U.S., others were forced, and this time were the ones doing the forcing.
Hello, I'm Christopher Ng. Just imagine this, walls crumbling down, the earth shaking under your feet, all of this happening as you watch everything you built be destroyed, and so you look to America to save you. This is what most Haitians faced in 2010 when around 7.0 magnitude earthquake hit their island, along with multiple other dictatorships and ongoing poverty. The country was being smashed into a decline of life standards. However, when they tried to move to the U.S. to escape these issues, some Americans didn't greet them kindly. Although they were discriminated against, the immigrants of Haiti enriched the world by contributing to the livelihood of the U.S. citizens through politics, point out social inequalities in artifices, words, and much more. The first person who I had researched and showed that there is a reason for Haitians to be in America is Mia Love. Her parents had immigrated to the U.S. with barely any money, and they told her, as she had recalled in a biography, "Mia, your mother and I never took a hand up, but you will not be a burden to society. You will give back." Not only had they decided to take the discrimination they had been given from birth, but they also wanted to help the U.S. When she grew up, she served 2 terms on city council, all while her biography says, through a period of 1,700% population growth in a decade, Under her leadership, the city was able to successfully navigate the drastic transition from agriculture fields to a booming residential community. This is only one of the things that she had done. Others include being the first Haitian and woman to serve in Congress and sponsoring 10 bills, which she had helped pass one. She is still in Congress today and shows that immigrants, even if you don't want them, and even if they're forced into being here, can help more than you think. The next person who I'll talk about is Watson Mir, an artist of Haitian descent. Along with Love, Mir didn't have a choice of moving here, but still, he makes the most of the society he lives in. One picture that he had painted is after President Trump had asked the prodding question of, why do we want people from Haiti here? In the debate of whether or not immigrants from certain places are allowed into the U.S., it had been MLK Jr. Day when he heard this, so he painted MLK shushing and holding his hand to Trump's mouth as he was tweeting. In an interview with Stephen Snyder, Mir said, I wanted to do something, not over the top, that would show a better way to be a leader. While Trump attempts to rid the country of the problems he sees, Mir creates his art to fight the real problem of racial discrimination and help make a better America. As I've shown, Haitians who have moved to the U.S. are definitely diversifying the way we see politics and art. Through the political view, Mir Love had broken the racial barrier in politics and opened the door of opportunities for others. In large actions, people like Love are paving the way. However, there are also people you meet every day who are making change. So, people such as Watson Mir, who makes small acts to create equality. After listening to this, I hope that you see that not every immigrant or descendant had full choice to live in the U.S. Some had been forced into this country by a declining and eventual collapse of their homes, while others were born here, unable to choose. Even while barraged with discouragement and hate, these people continued to contribute and help with the problems instead of running.
Why did 46,000 people die in Haiti in 2010, and how did they move on from Haiti? Is the U.S. really a better place? What are they losing and what are they gaining? Sometimes immigration isn't just a decision people can easily make. For Haitians, family member deaths and property destroyed forced them to the U.S. just to survive. Our country is Haiti. It is located in North America, and it is one-third of the island of Hispaniola. Haiti is a very poor country. It is one of the poorest countries on the Western Hemisphere. 80% of the residents live in poverty. It is one of the most densely populated, yet least developed countries in the Western Hemisphere. The ethnicity ratio is 95% black and 5% other. The main religion is Roman Catholic because it was under French rule for over 100 years. The official languages spoken are the beautiful language of the dove, also known as French, and Haitian Creole, which is a French-based Creole language. They speak French because of the contact between the Haitians and the French during the heartbreaking Atlantic slave trade. The country's main weaknesses are poverty, starvation, and life expectancy. The richest 1% of the population control nearly half of all Haiti's wealth. And 78% of Haitians live on less than $2 a day. This also translates into starvation and may lead to why Haiti is the third hungriest country in the world behind Somalia and Afghanistan. Haiti ranks 149th out of 189 countries on the United Nations Human Development Index, and the life expectancy is over 20 years lower than males and females in the U.S. The life expectancy for women in Haiti is a paltry 55, and for men, it is only 53 years of age. The first wave of immigration from Haiti really started in the 1980s because of political instability and poverty. People went to the U.S. to provide for their families. Later in the years, a large factor that caused many Haitians to immigrate to the U.S. was the massive 2010 earthquake. The earthquake was an astonishing 7.0 on the Richter scale and took the lives of an estimated 46,000 to 316,000. The city was shattered and filled with the vile stench of death and hopelessness. As we can see, Haiti is in dire need of help, and it's no wonder that Haitians immigrate to the U.S. It sometimes isn't a choice for them to immigrate. It is a solution to their problems. It is how they feed their families or themselves. It is how they live in a house, and most importantly, it is how they feel safe. Since they can't do all this with the immense poverty and crime rates they face in Haiti, they move to the U.S. for survival because they don't want to give up on themselves or their families. They might have terrible jobs or be struggling to make ends meet each month, but they are trying. Immigrants are just the same as everyone else, so there's no need to change how we treat someone if they're not from the same place as us.
My name is Dylan, and today I'll be talking about Haitian current events. 50,000 Haitian immigrants could lose their temporary American citizen status. Since the tragic earthquake in Haiti, these people have lived in the United States for over 6 years. However, recently, the Trump administration has made motions to remove their temporary protection status, believing that Haiti has returned to its former glory, and plan to require those with TPS to return to Haiti, throwing thousands of families into crisis. Recently, the Trump administration has removed the TPS for all Haitian immigrants. Well expected, thousands of families are in panic. They are feeling a wall of dread enclosing around their hearts. After living in the United States for 8 years, many with children born in the United States are forced into action and hard choices. Although they are scared, many are planning to stay illegally or try to seek asylum in Canada. The Trump administration has spoken on the issue, saying, "Those extraordinary but temporary conditions caused by the 2010 earthquake no longer exist, and significant steps have been taken to improve the stability and quality of life for Haitian citizens. And Haiti is able to safely receive traditional levels of returned citizens." While many Americans feel ambivalent, should Haiti start accepting their people again? Well, Haiti has made epoch-making recovery. If they are forced to start accepting their people, the results could be catastrophic. The unemployment rate is at least over 60%, and the economy is still in shambles. The national poverty rate is 58.6%, and around 24% still live in extreme poverty. Many promises by the United States still have not been met. For example, they agreed to build the country's largest hospital, which construction is still underway. Jobs promises have also not been kept. Since the last renewal of the TPS, there has been a cholera outbreak and two hurricanes. Removing Haitian immigrants will not be beneficial to the United States either. After spending millions of dollars on education for many immigrants, we are turning these people away with no economic return. One-fifth of Haitians own houses in the United States and are often crucial to the economy, providing job experiences that would go unappreciated due to lack of opportunity in Haiti. Often these people have spent over 8 years in this country and often see themselves as American citizens. They dream red, white, and blue. Peterson Excise says, "I'm a human. You are a human. This is my home, and America is my home. I consider myself American in every way, except the papers I don't have." Thousands of people are losing their homes for the benefit of no one. Thousands of people need our help to become American citizens, the citizenship that they have earned.
The earthquake was 8 years ago, but La Perla des Antillas has not recovered. Millions of people are living in poverty, and Haiti cannot afford to take in more people. We need to unite to help Haiti and their people.